Anyway, we've been talking about relationships since the beginning of the year, and we're going to continue here for a few more months or so. And we spent a couple weeks in early January trying to establish a foundation for relationship. One of those foundations is understanding our created purpose as God's image bearers, and then redeemed in Christ to multiply God's image and His love on the earth. That's one of the foundations of every relationship. And then the second would be the multiplication of that, which happens through knowing God, knowing each other. I used the word intimacy. Having intimacy with God and with each other brings about the multiplication of God's glory and His love on the earth. And then last week, we kind of started to hone that in a little bit, and we talked about relationships between friends, and we're going to continue in that today. And Ben warmed us up last week talking about the covenant love or the covenant friendship of two friends, Jonathan and David, in the Old Testament. And I wish I had time to go back and recapture a couple things. But he made the point that covenant is based on self-denying or self-sacrificial love, and also on God, and neither one of those has an end. If you think about self-sacrificing love, that doesn't end when things get difficult. It keeps going. And so covenant is based on that kind of love, and covenant is based on God, and neither one of those has an end. So why all this focus on relationships? Well, I found it interesting last week, as Ben and Jackie and I began to sort through and all the input that you had on the We Dream and Discern Together Day we had as a congregation, and as we tried to put all that data and your thoughts and your input into a usable form, it became clear that just about everything that you talked about that day had to do with connections, with building relationships, whether it be with each other as men or women or marriage or parenting or people with common interest, building connections with our communities that we live in. All of those things, I don't know, there might have been one thing that didn't have to do with relationships and I wouldn't even know what that was. But building relationships, building friendships, connecting people to Jesus. Over the past several months, I've had some rather in-depth, weeks, I've had some in-depth conversations with a number of different people about friendship. And what became interesting to me is each and every conversation at some point ended up with somebody, or at least at some point in the conversation, somebody in tears. Just a couple weeks ago, I had lunch with one of my good man friends. Us men aren't really good at having good man friends, but this person I've just learned to love, or actually I should probably say I've just chosen to love them. And he had made it, over the last several years, he's made a couple comments to me about friendship and friends, and was thinking about this message and like, I want to get together with him and I want to ask him some questions about friendship. So we're sitting in a restaurant, and the next thing I know, he's just sobbing all over his sandwich, as he told me about a painful friend experience. And the next thing I knew, I'm sitting there sobbing about and starting to share with him about a painful friend experience. Yeah, we're great guys, aren't we? Sitting there in the public crying over our sandwiches, talking about friendship. But what I've come to realize in sharing all that is that when we begin to, if we're willing to be vulnerable with ourselves and with each other, there's some deep chords that are going to be touched over the next couple months as we talk about relationships and connections and friendships. So, I've been thinking about Peter and Jesus the last week or so and their covenant friendship. And yes, I really think it's okay to just think of Jesus and Peter as a couple guys that were friends. To get us started, I'd like to kind of immerse us right into this very intense emotional time in their friendship. They had been friends for several years. And I just want you to think about Jesus and Peter. It's almost like Some of you guys have been on like a hunting trip for a couple weeks, and you're like sleeping in a tent with a bunch of other guys, and it's almost like that, because Jesus and Peter, they walked the same roads together. They breathed the same dust. They probably drank water out of the same containers. They ate food cooked over the same fire. Like, they probably took baths in the same springs and rivers. They smelled each other's sweat. They probably, I mean, remember, Jesus was a real person. Like, him and Peter, they probably relieved themselves behind the same trees. They went fishing together. They interacted with all kinds of people together. They had intimate conversations and shared meals with everybody from religious leaders to tax collectors, to prostitutes, to lepers. Jesus and Peter did a lot of life together. That's really what they did. They just did life together. And now, where we're going to jump into the story is Jesus is just about to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus has been praying. He's been pouring out his heart to his Father in heaven. And his disciples, including Peter, couldn't stay awake to pray. Not even his special friend Peter could stay awake. And that brings us to the passage that I'd like to focus on for the next couple minutes. And I think most of us will be able to identify with some of the emotions that may have been in play here. Actually, this is Luke 2, starting 47. I want to go back to verse 45. When he rose from prayer, Jesus, and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep. It says they were exhausted from sorrow. Like, they were emotionally spent. They had nothing else to offer. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Now, starting in verse 47. While he, Jesus, was still speaking, a crowd came up. And the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear, and we know that was Peter. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Peter, emotionally spent, nothing left to offer, falling asleep when Jesus was asking him to be praying, wakes up, and he sees Judas and these other religious leaders and this detachment of soldiers and guys from the high priest office, all of them, sees them coming for Jesus. And Peter, beginning to realize what was happening to his dear friend Jesus, grabs his sword to try and protect Jesus, and in the passion of the moment to protect, to be a friend, cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. If you can imagine with me Peter's thought process, it might have went something like this. "You know, I couldn't stay awake and pray for my friend. I just didn't have anything to offer. I was emotionally spent, but now I'm going to make things happen. I'm going to defend my friend Jesus with everything I have." Now, imagine Peter's confusion when Jesus says, No, stop. No more swords. No swords. Just stop." And then Jesus puts the guy's ear back on his head. "But Jesus," Peter's thinking, "you wanted me to pray, but now you don't want my help. What are friends for? What am I supposed to do? This is so frustrating." Have you ever felt that way with a good friend? It seems like they want your help in a situation, and then when you try and help, they act like they don't want your help. Are you following with Peter here? Yeah. Sometimes our friends, they act like they want our help, and we try and help, and then they act like they don't want our help. What are we supposed to do? Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Where's Peter? He's following at a distance. And when some of them had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, "This man, this Jesus, he was with you." By now, Peter's just a little bit disoriented. He's confused. He's hurt. What's my role in this friendship? What's my role here? It's obvious he still values his friendship with Jesus, but now he's starting to keep his distance. There's no use getting too close again until I start seeing how this situation's going to work out. You tracking with Peter here? I think so. What's he do? He denies it. "Ah, I'm not with Jesus. Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About another hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And then just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. I'd love to know what this looked like. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. My heart just aches for Peter, for Jesus. My heart aches for me. My heart aches for all of us. Because we have all experienced what Peter and Jesus experienced that night. A deep covenant relationship that felt like it was getting ripped apart at the seams. See, we've all, at some point, disappointed, rejected, or betrayed a good friend, a deep relationship, and have had to struggle with the shame and the pain of the hurt we caused, and realizing that we can't go back and undo those hurtful words or the act of betrayal. Just like Peter, we often remove ourselves, just stay away from them. We go outside and we weep bitterly. It seems like the only recourse. And I think we have all experienced at some level, like Jesus, the rejection and the betrayal of a good friend, the wounds of a damaged relationship that was because of no fault of our own. Jesus experienced that betrayal and pain from Peter that early morning, just as the rooster began to crow. You know what's so incredible? Is that just earlier, that same night, they had sat around the table together in the upper room. They had ate bread from the same loaf. They had drank from the same cup. And Jesus made a covenant with them, with Peter. Jesus, in essence, said, "This bread and cup is my body and my blood, and I'm giving both to you. I'm giving all of my life to you, Peter, so that you can have the fullness of all that I am. Peter, my friend, I am here to serve you." And Jesus had more to say that night. As they sat around the table, he said to his covenant friends, connected by this covenant of sacrificial love, listen to what he said. He says, "I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus said, "My kingdom is now your kingdom." We're just talking a couple hours before this betrayal. You know what that reminds me of? Reminds me of Jonathan and David that Ben talked about last week. Because Jonathan was the heir to the throne. Jonathan gave up the throne for his covenant friend David. There's one verse that I just want to touch on that Ben didn't mention last week. 2 Samuel 20, verse 40. Like, Saul was after both of them now because he's sick of their friendship. And he actually tells Jonathan, "As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established." That's what Saul said to his son Jonathan, who's the heir to the throne. And then David and Jonathan arranged this meeting. And in verse 40 it says, "Then Jonathan, he was getting ready to meet David, and he says, then Jonathan gave his weapons to the servant boy that was with him, and he says, go carry them back to town. Here's a guy who, it's his throne to have. And he's meeting David, who's, everybody's saying, is going to have the throne. And Jonathan walks out to meet him, and he's like, he lays all his weapons down. That's a vulnerable friendship. Your throne is at risk. And yet you're willing to lay down your weapons to go meet the other guy that's going to have the throne. It just sounds like a picture of Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus and Peter. I'm going to be vulnerable, Jesus says. I'm going to lay down all my weapons, everything. My kingdom, Peter, is going to be your kingdom. And I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to serve you in that way. The Lord of all creation made a covenant friendship with Peter and his friends. A covenant that would allow them to share in Jesus' kingdom, to eat at his table and to sit at thrones. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus was transferring his life to Peter, to all who would believe in him. So where's the hope in this relationship, this friendship between Jesus and Peter? Where's the hope for all of our damaged relationships? Is it going outside and removing ourselves and weeping in regret? Is it condemning the offender? Is it pretending we were never in covenant friendship in the first place? Ah, they weren't really my friend. What do we do with all this brokenness? Well, I think we have to go back and look how Jesus and Peter met. You know where Jesus and Peter met in the first place? On the beach. Jesus was having a day on the beach. Boy, you can do a lot of things at the beach. And he was just talking to the people. Kind of the crowds were all standing around him. And they were all getting sand in their toes. And Jesus sees this boat pulled up there on the side of the, on the edge of the bank there of the beach. And I think Jesus realized, like, if I was trying to talk to all of you and I was standing out in the middle and you were all crowded around, like, I could only see a few of your faces and most of you couldn't hear. But if I kind of just step back up here a little bit, like, I can see all of you, everybody can hear better, and I think that's all Jesus did. He said, hey, Peter, is this your boat? And Peter's like, yeah, because they were up there cleaning their nets, and just take me out there a little bit. I can talk to these people better. I can tell them about the things of God. So Peter says, okay. He takes him out and just holds it steady there, because I'm sure he didn't want this guy falling into the water. Jesus gets done, and then he says to Peter, hey, let's go fishing. Let's go catch some fish. Let's have a fish fry. What's Peter say? Ah, the fishing stinks. Fishing does have its own kind of special aroma. But the fishing stinks. Can't catch anything. Jesus says, come on, let's go. And they go out and they catch fish. Lots of fish. Boatloads of fish. I'm sure they ate fish till they couldn't eat fish anymore. That's how Jesus and Peter met. You know what? After they caught all those fish, do you know what Jesus Or Peter said to Jesus, he said, go away from me. Go away from me. Don't be around me because I'm a sinful man. Because he recognized something divine about Jesus. Get away from me. But Jesus, the Lord, the perfect one, did just the opposite of what Peter wanted him to do. Instead of going away, Jesus invited Peter to come close. Come close, follow me, do life with me, share in the ministry of fishing for men with me. What was Peter's response? Pretty cool. He chose to leave the perceived safety of the familiar and just follow after Jesus. Go do life with Jesus. Peter said, get away from me, Jesus, I'm sinful. Jesus says, come close to me, Peter. Follow me, do life with me. Isn't it glorious? How did this deep friendship with Jesus and Peter sprout and take root? Jesus simply chose Peter one day on the beach. And Peter, in turn, simply chose to follow Jesus. Jesus has chosen me. Jesus has chosen you. He chose us before the foundations of the earth to multiply his image, his love, his glory on the earth. He chose the church to be a kingdom and priest and to serve God and reign on the earth with all of God's love and glory? What is the answer to all the brokenness, the damaged friendships? It's embracing that Jesus, God, chose us and established the covenant of friendship with his blood. He has risen from the dead. He's alive and he's now seated in heaven. The covenant of our friendship with God does not end. Its power is in Jesus, and it's the power of self-sacrificial love. The selfless love that does not end when there is betrayal and rejection. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the love of Christ in us is the hope of all our relationships, brothers and sisters. Jesus chose us. He established a never-ending covenant with his own blood. Will you, will I, like Peter, choose Jesus? Choose Jesus. Follow Jesus. He's the perfect one. We're safe in his covenant. It's a covenant of friendship. Listen, this is Jesus speaking. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. How did Jesus love Peter? Self-sacrificially. All of my life into you. You reject me, betray me, don't want me around you. I'm going to invite you to come close. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. In other words, again, this putting of life, my life into yours, your life into me. You are my friends if you do what I command. What's the command? Love each other as I have loved you. Listen, folks, I no longer call you servants, Jesus said, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus chose Peter. He chose us and appointed you to go and bear fruit, to multiply, to fill the whole earth with the love and the glory of God. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Wow. That puts a different twist on it. When we're bearing the fruit of love, self-sacrificial love, and we ask out of that, it's not for our benefit. It's for the benefit of someone else. God says, I'll hear that prayer when you're praying to me and asking me for things out of this deep self-sacrificial love that wants to put life into somebody else. He says, I'll give you that. Think about that as we pray. Are my prayers for me or my prayers for the good of someone else with no strings attached? This is my command, he says. Love each other. Love each other. Put your lives into each other, regardless of what the other person does. Friendship. Jesus and Peter. What a story. What a story. It's Peter's truth. It's our truth.